Good morning, friends. Good morning. Welcome to our forum this morning, led by Stirring the Waters and the Anti-Racism Task Force. I'd like to open us in prayer, and then I will pass the mic to the real experts in the room. God be with you. Let us pray. Gracious God, we ask for your presence to be made known among us. May we always be aware of your spirit and the way that she is moving and calling us into new ways of being. May we allow ourselves to be challenged and to continue to grow in becoming anti-racist, knowing that this is a lifetime of work and that your spirit will guide us each step of the way. May we continue to know and love you and to share your love throughout the world. In God's holy name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Adeline. Good morning, everyone. I am Lauren Counts. I lead our Stirring the Waters ministry. And today we're in for a real treat. This represents a collaboration among Stirring the Waters and Anti-Racism Task Force and Courtney with the Welcoming Ministry to really talk about member engagement, to talk about welcoming and how we can be welcoming church. And why welcoming? And it's really foundational to who we are as a church. It's the beginning of a conversation. It's where friendships begin. It sets the tone for the church. It's why we come back. So with that in mind, we're going to walk through a few sets of slides, maybe have some conversations, engage, and really get us thinking about why this is so important. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Courtney to kick us off.
In late February, we had a wonderful trainer named Mary Parmer come to St. Columbus, and she shared with us more about her ministry, Invite, Welcome, and Connect. Most of our staff was there, and a bunch of other folks were interested in learning a little bit more. And I'd like to read to you something that Bishop Curry wrote about Invite, Welcome, and Connect, and I think it gives a little bit of background and hopefully we'll explain a little bit more about why we're embarking on this at St. Columbus. That is not to say we're not already welcoming people. We're doing a really good job of that. I came to St. Columbus over 20 years ago, and we found the church through the nursery school. And I felt like going into the common as a new person was felt a little intimidating. And not to say that it isn't still intimidating, but I think we've really, Ledley really spent a lot of time with us. We talk about newcomers every week in our staff meetings. We really are thinking about ways to invite people into the church and also encourage how they're getting involved, and yet there's always room for growth. So this is what Michael Curry said. As Episcopalians, we are not God's frozen. We are God's introverted people. We tend to be shy and polite. We are not pushy people. That's not our way, and I don't think we need to pretend to be that way. We need to be who we are. Mary Parmer has found a way for God to guide people in sharing their stories in ways that are authentic and genuine. I participated in this program as the Bishop of North Carolina, and our diocese was very involved in this ministry. Invite, Welcome, Connect is a wonderful program, but it's more than simply a program. It helps to inculcate a way of life that actually reflects the way of welcome of Jesus of Nazareth, the Jesus who says, "Come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Invite, Welcome, Connect is something we as Episcopalians can do. It's a way of evangelism that reflects who we are, that doesn't have us trying to be somebody we aren't, but actually calls us to be exactly who we are in Jesus Christ, and to invite and welcome and connect others to that life-giving reality. So I started with that because I think it just gives a little bit of background. If you don't have one of these books, I have extras in my office, and I would love to give you one to read it. And so I'm just going to go through a couple slides. So inviting evangelism. Evangelism really has a mixed, some people have different feelings about the word evangelism. In this context, we're really thinking about how are we inviting people into the church How are we listening to stories? Hillary shared with us a few weeks ago, or maybe a month or so ago, that in order to grow, we need to extend 600 invitations. Just think for a year. So just think for a quick second. Have you invited anyone to St. Columba's in the last 6 weeks? So we need to extend 600 invitations. Do we offer training or guidelines or guides so we can share our faith stories? That's something that we're going to be doing more of. We just had a faith story by a young high schooler today. And so really thinking about ways to, how do we talk with each other? How do we listen to each other about what's going on in our lives of faith? And what are avenues that St. Columba's offers to invite the local community? We have an amazing communications team here at St. Columba's. We are often really thinking about outward ways to welcome the community in. Our Wednesday night suppers have been a wonderful way to do that, concerts that we have, forums that we have, and those are also ways you can invite too if there's an event. Sometimes I really think that a personal invitation is often the best way to get someone to come through the doors of the church. Okay, let's see here. Take a quick moment, would you, and consider what brought you to St. Columba's. And I'd like for you to think for about a minute or so how it felt to walk through the doors for the first time. And this could have been a long time ago, and that's fine. And if you're willing, could you turn to the person next to you? And if it's someone you've known for 40 years, maybe turn the other way and talk to somebody different, and maybe share that experience. Sarah, I'll be right. So I promise I need to keep this moving because we've got a lot we want to do. But thank you for doing that. We're not going to share out right now. And this is the kind of thing that I hope we can find more time to do. These are the last couple things. As we think about looking, are we looking intentionally for the stranger in our midst? Are we a friendly church or a church of friends? Do we have a process for welcoming newcomers? And the answer is yes. And we're also in the process of really revitalizing that system. We've got some new software that we hope will help us just to keep track of things. I can say more about that later. And then thinking about the deep truth of connect is the sacred act of listening. You just practiced that. So just to actually take time to sit and listen. And on a Sunday morning, we don't often have that time, but really being in connection with someone and listening. And then the last thing, couple things, is do we know what our spiritual gifts are? We're in the process of Hillary and Some others are thinking, we're thinking about ways that there is already a spiritual inventory that we're hoping to share with you all to begin to discern your gifts. Also a values inventory. This is information just to help you think about where you are in your life and on your faith journey. And then the last thing is, what are our pathways to belonging? And for St. Columba's, we have a lot of them, small groups, different ministries, Bible studies, all kinds of ways. And now I'm going to turn it over to Keisha. Is that right?
Good morning, everyone. I'm Christina McAllister.
I'm Keisha Evans.
And we, are with many others, are part of the Anti-Racist Task Force here at St. Columba's. And we just wanted to put this radical welcome into that framing. I think we may have...
No, we took it out. No,
we moved it back. Okay.
Yeah. Do you want to... Yeah, I think when we're thinking about welcome, invite, welcome, and connect, part of what we're also wanting to encourage all of us to do is to start thinking about how do we create the beloved community, the kingdom of God here? How do we really start thinking about who we are, how we're extending welcome, what we're owning? So some oftentimes when we look at how we want our community to expand here, we want more people at St. Columba's to reflect the world around us. But in order to do that, we have to really think about our way of being. What are we owning? When we introduce ourselves to someone, do we say, hey, welcome to my church. Are you new? How did you just get here? And then I'm like, well, no, I'm actually on the vestry. I've been here for a long time, many years, but that's great. You know, this is a huge part of my budget each year. You know, like, but it's those things that we do unconsciously, and like, how are we, just stop back to think, are we in right relationship with people who are different from us? One of my favorite things is to say, who's been around your dinner table? Who have you shared a meal with? Who do your kids call their aunts and uncles and extend their circle of love? And examine that a little bit and give that some reflection. And I think that starts to get us thinking about how do we really transform who we are? I'm going to give it back to you. But I think part of this Christian walk, like a lot of times folks will say, oh, being anti-racism, that's such a huge lift. But I stop often, I say, it's just being Christian. That's the lift. That's the first lift. And we're here doing all this work to be Christians. It's not extra. It's just extra humans that we're just extending humanity and questioning ourselves. And I put out there that a lot of this work, when we are looking through our blind spots, there's a fear about change. Like when we're like, if we're going to bring others in, it's going to fundamentally change who we are. Because some of us might clap, some of us might say amen during the service, you know, I have to hold myself back sometimes. And that, I think, is just the ways that we have to just reflect a bit. What do you think about that?
I totally 200% support everything you just said. I also feel that to build on your last point, I think it can help us grow. It makes us bigger people, expands our heart, expands our love, expands who we can be. It's the life that God is calling us into, right? To step into. I don't know that I have too much more to add to that. Are we speaking to the next one as well?
Yeah, these are just some of the questions we had put forth for folks to figure out as we examine and reflect on that. I need help, Lauren. Oh, great. Oh, we're done. Oh. Yeah, that's the slide that we had, yeah.
Yeah, so this was what we were, this is the guiding principle of our anti-racist task force, of the whole effort here at St. Columba's, is this is hard work. It's hard to look at ourselves and to say, well, I mean well. I love everybody here, and, you know, maybe I don't get to talk to everybody every day, but I mean well. But as Keisha pointed out, that can sometimes land in a different way. And I think it's just sitting with that and being you know, taking a moment before becoming defensive and before and just saying, okay, I'm going to give myself grace. I'm going to give this other person grace. And be curious. Like, how did that feel for you, Keisha? How did that feel for you, right? And, okay, I'm going to go and it's hard for me to react to that right now, but I'm going to think about that, and I appreciate you telling me.
And then even with you, oftentimes we're like, ouch, ouch, how did that feel for me? Like, I'm reading the books. Like, I'm doing the work, and, like, I still stumbled there, you know?
Yeah, so. Exactly. All right.
It's you.
Over to Patty and Bill.
Of course, Bill and I get to talk about where we stub our toes, you know, where it all doesn't go the way we want it to. And we've all been there, you know. 99% of the time, I'm interacting with a lot of other white-haired white people around my age and background. And if I deal with people of color, maybe it's in a different context. But we come from a specific culture. We have a way of being that's become innate and natural to us. And sometimes it's just not welcoming in ways we don't intend. And so that's what Bill and I are going to talk about for a few minutes. I'm going to pass it to you to talk about.
There we go. So this is the definition of microaggressions that we presented to the congregation. You may have missed it. And we asked people to tell us about microaggressions that they may have experienced in their time at St. Columbus. I am, by the way, there are six presenters. I am the cisgendered, mid-70s, white male. But the point there is that that's the dominant culture. That's the culture we live in. So that's partly why I'm here. But the definition of a microaggression, first of all, understand the issue here is that it's largely unconscious. Our brains are wired in a way in this dominant white culture that we sort of immediately assess people. And the easiest way to assess someone is by their appearance. Rather than taking them in as a whole person. So what a microaggression is, it's a brief, commonplace, daily verbal behavior or environmental indignity, whether intentional or unintentional, that communicates hostile, derogatory, or negative racial slights and insults towards people of color, people's sexual orientation, people's age. There are lots of ways to invalidate people. We're talking about people of color right now. Since microaggressions are unintentional, for the most part, this is an area where it's helpful to distinguish between intent and impact and to honor both truths.
Terrific. And of course, the first simple example there is not sitting next to a person of color on public transportation. So, we did ask our congregation to share with us examples of microaggressions that they may have experienced, and we want to share a few of those with you. Parishioners emphasize how impressed they are at how well I articulate myself. It felt like less of a compliment and more that they were surprised, as if they didn't expect someone like me to be able to speak well. And so again, as you read this slide, this is a person of color, how did that feel to them? You know, how diminishing that must have felt.
A second one again, take this in from the viewpoint of the person, not the person acting, but the person being acted upon. I went to a small parish meeting with just a few participants. Someone asked me, a middle-aged person of color, whether I was a parishioner taking part in the meeting. This is a recurrent theme. We've had this theme in the water ministry in terms of staff of color being asked if they were a guest. So again, this is about taking a step back and being careful, taking in the whole person.
As an LGBTQ person of faith, I know what it feels like to be casually marginalized at St. C's. And this makes me wonder, gee, what are the ways in which I might be doing that? And last of all?
Lastly, this is from the viewpoint of someone afraid that they are committing a microaggression. Sometimes I worry that my enthusiasm in saying hello and introducing myself to people based on what they look like might make them feel othered. And this whole set of microaggressions is about othering. So, Patty.
Yes, Susan.
Can you turn it on?
Thank you, Ron.
Could I just offer another one that happened here at St. Columbus too, and I think it's connected. It's connected with our assumptions we make about financial situations. And in a group that I was a part of at one time, somebody meaning to be helpful and considerate, talking about some options to do something or other, an assumption was made that an African-American person in the group would need an affordable, less expensive version. And so this person offered, well, you might want to look into such and such. And the response was, thank you, but I don't need financial help. And I think that's something that's well meant, but based on a stupid assumption.
To the mic, please, my friend.
Oh, no, let's just let me. All right, I have an example to share that happened a few years ago, but it's, stays with me. It's heavy on my heart. I had come back from the Scotland trip, and I bought a nice sweater that was with sheep on it because I had loved the sheep that I saw in Scotland. So I was at an event at the Washington Cathedral. I don't remember what it was, but I went into the ladies' room and there were some other people there, a white friend of mine, and there was a black woman in there. And so they were complimenting my sweater. And I said, oh yeah, isn't it nice? And then I said something like, oh, but there's a black sheep. Or later. But I felt so bad that, you know, I was trying to be lighthearted, and I realized, you know, that that was really a damaging comment.
So, Bill and I thought it was only right that we share examples ourselves, because I forget who said it now, but this is lifelong work to begin to notice and recognize. My example isn't from church. I'm sure I've done many here at church. But the one that came to mind to me first was I'd taken my grandchildren to Legoland. It's a very huge, disconcerting thing for someone of my age now. And I forget what I needed from the customer service desk, big open space. And, you know, everybody, I couldn't get waited on, and there was a black man far off, kind of looked behind the desk to me, but I said, sir, can you? And I noticed in the middle of that, looking down, that was a man bringing two of his children to Legoland. And I was just thankful that he didn't hear me or he didn't attend to me. But again, it's just an example of where I was making an automatic assumption.
Yeah, mine's a little more even ordinary than that. I was out on the common, and I had saw two friends talking, one white and one black. The white friend I share a real interest in movies with, and I'd just seen a movie, actually, that had been recommended. And I went up, and I just, these two people are talking, I just launched in to a, you know, I just saw whatever the movie was, blah, blah, blah. And I, that's rude to begin with, obviously. But on top of it, it dawned on me afterwards how the person of color must have perceived my simply not even noticing their existence. And I don't know if the conversation had been between two white parishioners, whether I had done it. But that's sort of one of the keys here, that maybe we should all try and just be a little more friendly and aware of how we impact people.
And we're not bad. We're not bad people because this happens. But I think our point is that we need to try to do some things to hold ourselves accountable, maybe to notice where and how we may be excluding, not including. And we just have a couple thoughts on that.
The first part is to just realize how you interact with people as individuals. One of the things that that Sacred Ground taught me in terms of people of color, in terms of Latinos and Asians, is white culture, first of all, lumps Latinos in as just a group, deprives them of any nationality. So what we tend to do is we tend to simplify things. So what it's about is slowing down, especially if you're embedded in the white dominant culture. Slow down and interact with people as individuals. Pause for a second, reflect, and then engage. connect to individuals on shared interest. You've got a rebellious teenager. Mother is suffering from dementia. We all have human ways to connect that have nothing to do with color or ethnicity. And lastly, as a theme through this whole thing, is listen. Sit down and listen to the person across from you. Listen to their story and connect.
This is continual work for me personally. The one that's important to me is try to begin observing yourself. If we don't observe ourselves, we won't recognize it. If we don't recognize it, we won't be able to do anything to correct ourselves. So it's kind of a rinse and repeat. And have a little grace for yourself in this and for others. And
do you want me to give them a moment to?
Okay, terrific. And so I'm turning it back to Keisha.
So there's been offered out there for us to consider a notion of radical welcome. I think it's Reverend Spellers that came up with this concept. The distinction between being inviting, inclusive, and then what radical welcome could actually look like. So when we look at inviting, it's like, come to St. Columba's, we're great, and be like us. This is how we worship, this is what we do, this is what we wear, this is what we dress. Come here and be like us. And that is, I'm not questioning our invite, part of our mission here, but that's this inviting notion, which is part of what, even as Episcopalians, we have to practice. But then there's another bit about being a step forward and being inclusive. Come in, and we'll put your picture on the wall, and we will include you into the mix, and we will have you do all these things with us. We'll be inclusive with you. But then there's this really uncomfortable, different place of radical welcome. How do we recognize that this place is not complete without the other people out there being here? And that each of us are different and changed when all of us are kind of within the tent? And how are we willing to transform ourselves to also welcome and embrace other people? Now, this is meant for us to be challenge ourselves a bit. We're not firing you, Hillary. Okay? You can stay. But come in and bring your whole self. I want to listen to you. I want to know who you are. I want to assume. I want to know what makes you tick, which isn't maybe what makes other people that look like you tick. You guys can be completely and totally different, and likely are because we're humans. We're willing to change our music. Like maybe we'll add something different because a different population wants something that's a little bit more, and we'll include that in what we're doing. Our leadership might change their style, that of the ways that they preach occasionally or the way that they lead or the way people need to feel connected with. And our habits can better reflect what everyone is. So we're St. Columbus is fundamentally different every day, depending on who sits in the pews. And I want us all to acknowledge that we chose St. Columbus for a reason. We come here because this is our safe space, or my safe space. This is the way I am used to worshiping on, used to be Saturday, but now on Sunday. And you don't want that completely to change. Like, I'm not really wanting praise dancers and drums every week. But if there are occasionally, because that's what my family needs, this Christian community needs, then that's okay, and I've got to make space for that and acknowledge what makes me feel uncomfortable and also start having conversations with each other about that. I think that's this offer, this invitation to truly radically welcome others.
Thank you, Keisha. So to close this part, we're just going to ask you to sit a minute and think about how does this material resonate with you, maybe share that with your neighbor. And if there's any other comments that come up during that time, we can take them before we close out.
Yes.
Okay. So it looks like a lot of good conversations happening. I really, really like that. Anything anyone wants to share? Anything that came to mind that, yeah, Joshua.
Thank you, Lauren, for this and for the group. Just really liked everything about it. Just reflecting with my group, I think one of the things that I love about St. Columba's is we're not just talking about it. There is a way. Each one of you can like practice this week. Our Wednesday night ministry, I think, is like one of the most radical, awesome things that you can do in church. We do like lots of stuff, and it's all great. Water ministry is great. On Wednesday night, there's, Courtney, what would you say, our homeless, unhoused group, 10 to 20 every week, at least, sometimes more, almost never fewer than that. They come in, they've got, they are members in as full sense as I'm a member of this church. We eat together, we pray together. We can like welcome them, and it's this stuff, like we're actually doing it. You know, we're not just talking about it. And it's intergenerational. Like, I just can't say enough about it. Everything is so complicated, and it's really hard to translate into like, we're not just talking, but we're doing. And that Wednesday night group is one of the ways I think our church is really leaning in to a radical inclusion, radical welcome, whole self. So thank you, and I invite you on behalf of everybody to join us in just small ways. You know, you don't have to evangelize this population. Just like be and share lives with them. One very small example is Alex Hedgehog. Some of you know this man. He started coming to my class afterwards, and so like was talking and sharing, and it was just like, sometimes he comes to church. It's just, I think, a profound, great image of the kingdom of God that we're doing. So thank you.
Thank you, Joshua.
Thank you. I'm Wayne C. Fowler. I have been here for a little bit. And I saw something at a parish meeting a number of years ago that really stuck with me. The person emceeing the meeting had requested that when you get up to the mic and you speak, you tell what service you attend here at St. Columba's. And that was after a couple people giving their lineage and how long they had been here and what building they grew up in. And, you know, thank you, bravo, you're still here. But the point of giving the service that you attend was, it tells everybody what your perspective is to the group and in the group. And then it also, the idea of moving forward is invites you, well, the invitation I would say is open, go to another service. Because I can remember there was a time when the 11:15 was no children. So I think you have an opportunity there as well.
Yeah, I can say I was in We Worship for about a decade. Anyone else? I think in our group, Peter shared that it feels like three or four churches. And so there's a flavor for everyone. And sometimes it's helpful, yeah, to cross over. Oh, over here.
Thank you. I'm Ann Murphy. I have a logistical question. Did we see the list of all the responses to the survey? You had four or five printed up there. For me, as someone who doubtless tramples on people's feelings all the time, just seeing a list of all the examples would open my mind up. So if there was more that you did not have on the slide, maybe you'd consider publicizing it or distributing it or something.
So far we've had about 8 responses. I'm hoping after this week we'll have some more, and then we'll curate them. So they're still identifiable information, so we'll have to make sure that we do that anonymously if we can. Courtney, do you wanna, we want to end with a bit of a call to action. What's next?
So on Wednesday, May 27th, I think it's at 5 p.m. Is that right? Anyway, we'll get back to him the time. I think it's right. We're going to have a gathering here. It's traditionally been called our congregational leadership gathering. But come if you're not currently a leader of a ministry. We're going to have more about invite, welcome, and connect. And it's just a way for us to also have more conversations with each other, which we hear often that we don't have enough time to do. So.
Yeah, in one of your previous slides, you said that there was a welcoming system in place. What does that look like?
So we're trying to get better about tracking people from when they come in to partner them with a buddy, family, a shepherd, thank you, better than buddy. I'm a school teacher, so buddy was in my head. Shepherding them along, being with them across 6 months or a year, to invite them to specific things, kind of join them in the pews on a Sunday, having people follow up. We're really working on being more intentional about having a clergy person be in touch with someone the same day or the next morning after they've attended for the first time, whether by email or by text or call. And then once they've been kind of stewarded along, having them participate in some kind of newcomer course or class, a one-time thing where they're learning more about the Episcopal Church, learning more about what it means to be a good steward of the church in time, talent, and treasure, and making sure they're participating. And coming to church is plenty. People, you don't have to be in a small group, and to be quite honest, praying outside in the woods is plenty. People are like, I'm sorry I wasn't here last week. We're not taking attendance, we're not keeping track. Wherever you are, where you're feeling in the presence of God is really, really important, and being in community with each other. So those are a few of the things. Come on the 27th and you'll learn a little bit more.
So with that, I would like to thank all of our speakers today and all the planning that went into it, and hope everyone continues to be engaged on this topic. Thank you.